I'm Maranisha. I'm a clinician by training, and I'm currently doing postdoctoral research on the ethics of end-of-life care, but looking in particular at the perspective of Muslim patients and families, what it is that they encounter when they're making decisions about death and dying, but also the perspectives of those responsible for looking after them. So anybody who's involved within the healthcare setting, be they doctors, nurses, allied healthcare professionals, and also chaplains, but also people out in the community who are involved in the decision-making process, and particularly for Muslim patients and families that may involve a community-based imam or religious scholar. So just been having conversations with these different kinds of people, trying to understand better what decision-making looks like at the end of life, what works well, and what doesn't work so well. One of the things that I encountered both as a medical student and as a junior doctor was that end-of-life care, particularly for patients with cancer, was very well organised, very well resourced. But that wasn't necessarily the case for patients with other types of conditions, other types of diseases, or lots of different conditions coming together. And also that there was very little provision for people from minority communities who may not necessarily interact with the healthcare system in the way that we would normally expect. So it was something that was in the back of my mind for a long time. And I had the opportunity to do some work for my PhD on research ethics, which was different, but it then meant that I could move on to postdoctoral work, again, within ethics and healthcare. But it gave me the opportunity to look at this question of end-of-life care in the UK context to see, well, what are these sorts of narratives currently, and how is it that we can use those narratives to help inform clinical practice and also policy? Research is a wonderful opportunity to think about how it is that the information we collect, the analysis that we undertake, how that can then have a wider influence. When it comes to sort of informing policy, one of the things that I've been trying to do is engage with an all-party parliamentary inquiry into barriers to accessing palliative and end-of-life care. That's a very tangible way of trying to input into a conversation that's already taking place at the policy level. One of the other things that I found from the perspective of the Department of Health and Public Health England is they're really keen to have examples of good practice, cases that they can share with others who are trying to implement similar types of working. Because identifying problems is only one step. Being able to share resources about what works in different places is also a really good way of being able to influence working in different areas. So the relationship between research and dissemination is an incredibly important one when we're thinking about why it is that we're doing the research in the first place. And for something, for a topic like end-of-life care and death and dying, it's something that's integral to everybody's life experiences. And so that in and of itself gives me a chance to take the work out into the community, be that in mosques, in community centres, or in open public fora like the Festival of Ideas. And people connect with that very quickly. They're inquisitive about what other communities may experience, may find helpful or not. And it also gives them the opportunity to feedback, either as people who've experienced end-of-life care themselves through a family member or them making their own personal decisions, but also as healthcare professionals who've encountered the sorts of situations that I'm collecting through the research. It's incredibly important because a lot of the dissemination work has really influenced what it is that I've been then focusing on in my research, or what I've been using in terms of the training and the outreach work that I'm doing alongside the research. I mean, one of the things that drew me to the post was that it wasn't just about research itself. There was funding set aside specifically for outreach work. And that outreach work involves a training for healthcare professionals. So using some of what the research is saying to inform them that this may be what you encounter when you are looking after Muslim patients and families. This may be what they are trying to express, but in a way that may come across as inadvertent or possibly misunderstood. And a really good example of that was I did a couple of training days over the last few weeks, one at St. Christopher's Hospice in London and another at St. Mary's Hospice in Birmingham. And one of the key things that both groups of staff held on to was Muslim faith perspectives around caring for the elderly, caring for their loved ones. They have a cultural but also a religious commitment to looking after people in their family. So when they have situations where they need to hand over that care, it becomes very difficult for them. They suffer this sort of this moral anxiety and may find it very difficult to express or share that with healthcare professionals. From the perspective of healthcare professionals, they may encounter that as a lack of trust, or in extreme circumstances, situations where families install cameras to make sure that nothing untoward happens to their loved one. So some of the functions of these conversations is about helping healthcare professionals understand what the perspectives of families may be when it comes to them trying to hand over care.